Most studio owners decide to open their fitness and wellness businesses because they want to help people and add more meaning into their lives. Their heart is in the right place, they're great people, but scaling a profitable business that feels incredible to own and run is trickier than ever before. So where they get stuck is no one's ever shown them how to run a wildly successful business without the overwhelm and the chaos. Plus, they're doing it all alone. Until now. Welcome to the Geronimo Unfiltered podcast for ambitious boutique studio owners who are allergic to average and know they're capable of more. They're just missing the how. I'm Dozer, your host, CEO and founder of the Geronimo Academy, and together with my crew and my community of owners and managers who are the doers and the implementers, we are on a mission to pioneer a better way to own and operate a health and fitness business while building a life you love, not hate. So if you're ready to push the boundaries, level up your money, meaning and impact, and stop doing it alone, then you're in the right place. This is going to be raw and unfiltered, zero bullshit. So take a deep breath, strap yourselves in, and let's get fucking started. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Geronimo Unfiltered podcast. I'm Dozer, your host, and today we're going to be talking about what makes a superstar trainer. Now, we say all the time that people don't give a shit about your skirk. And most of the time, they don't really care about your concept either, right? They're there for a deeper reason. They want to be part of something, regardless of the results that you can get them. The reason why people stay long-term is because they feel like, you know, there is a relationship with you and there's a reason for them being there that extends way beyond the workout, okay? And that's the culture that you've got and the community that you've got. So today, I've got someone here to run you through what actually makes a memorable trainer, not a good one, not even a great one, but a memorable trainer, and how to run great sessions. Pete, Pete's back.
Dozer, podcast number two. Thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
No, we've done more than it. What about all those Barney ones?
Oh, okay. I've done a few. I mean, as a host, I suppose, or as a guest, but actually, probably
we've,
right. I've probably
been let you back on. You've been begging. At the door, knocking. No, I'm joking.
The security guard, somehow I got past him. You need to hire someone else.
Yeah, good. Well, mate, look, I got some questions for you and let's have some fun with this, but also let's get specific for our audience. Our audience, you know, there's nothing that sort of shits me more that, you know, owners say to us, you know, whether they come onto a sales call or they're already in their program and they're wondering why they're still stuck. They say, I don't know why, because our sessions are vibey. For some reason, they always use the words vibey. There's a great vibe at the studio. And I go, cool. And not to be nasty, but show me, like prove it. Where's the scorecard? How do you quantify vibey sessions? And what feedback are you giving your trainers? How are you coaching them up to be the absolute best superstar trainers that they can be? And most times they can't show me anything. It's just a feeling that they have. So what I'd love to bring you in on, Pete, is that your studios, now obviously you run, like your sessions are famous, right? The sessions that you run are famous. I know you've traveled across the network and you've helped other studios around the world amp up their teams on how to deliver epic sessions. Before we get into that, what is your philosophy as it comes to, you know, the training experience or what makes a superstar trainer?
Firstly, thank you. This is going to be a juicy episode because for most people that are listening to this one, whether you're a gym owner or if you're a trainer watching this, this is why you're in the industry. Like I know a lot of the marketing, a lot of the running the businesses are the pillar of excellence, but coaching is one of the main reasons why most or a lot of people get into this industry. So I'm immensely passionate about coaching and about teaching and about, of course, training myself. But my philosophy with coaching is that you are creating a real impact on someone's life. You have the opportunity to better their life through movement. And I've been really careful with my words on that one as well, because there's a lot of technical aspects that come into training that are really important that I'm sure we'll get into, but there's also a lot of the human element that comes into it. And if you do it right, you can, I hate using the term changing someone's life because it's a little bit watered down now in the industry, but I've seen people break down and cry, clients.
Yeah, it's true.
We do have
the opportunity.
So you really can make it something which is immensely impactful for that particular person. And if you're listening to this one, I can't get you fitter in the next 30 minutes, but I can give you something which you can take with you for the next 30 months, 30 years, which can help other people. So my philosophy with coaching in general is that the impact of the time that you have needs to last beyond just that time that you're with them. And if you're getting that impact with someone, then you're really creating a difference. And that is what true coaching is on the floor, starting there.
I love that. So let's dig a bit deeper. I want this episode to be the episode that after the 30 or 40 minutes, all the owners that are listening to this and all the managers that are listening to this can send this episode to every single one of their trainers and say, this is it, team. This is what we're going to strive for. And then I want to go through like a love list and a hate list, right? And listeners, I want you to kind of like audit yourselves and go, okay, tick off the things that, you know, you're on the love list and tick off the things that you're doing really, really well. And then just check yourself on some of the things that are, that will be on the hate list in terms of like what is not a superstar trainer. And as a bit of extra juice, Pete, I found this Reddit thread. There's so much gold on this. It's a Reddit thread of a new trainer in a certain functional training network. The headline is "New trainer here, give me tips." And the tips are all from members of that particular franchise network and a few others. And the love hate is like straight from the members' mouth. So I think it's going to be really juicy. But let's start with some of your stuff that you train your team.
So just like an overview on what I see, especially group coaching, it's important if you're coaching a group session, it's actually a bit unfair. And the reason I say that is because when you're coaching multiple people at once, you do need to change your style just a little bit, because you can get around to 24 people in the room. They think you're amazing and you miss one. And that one person thinks you're a shit coach, but the other 24 might think you're an amazing coach. It's a little bit unfair in that sense. The question is, how do you then become the coach that most, or if not all, the people in the room can really help you out? And there's quite a few different elements to that as well. But I see it really simply as three different pillars. At the top of the pillar, if you think three circles, you got to coach first. And I know this sounds really basic, but you need to know the essence and the basics of coaching, understanding technique, understanding how to cue people, understanding the basics of nutrition. And I think that knowledge base is really important, and that's something which you should always develop over time. So first things first is that you need to learn how to do it, and most people actually learn with themselves. The second one is that creating a community within the room itself. When you're coaching a group scenario, you're one-on-one with someone, but at the same time, you need that 360 view on the room and what's happening, and you can't let that go for too long. Otherwise, the person on the other side of the room will think that you're bludging, cruising, just chatting. You hear these words all the time. So creating the community element where everyone feels a part of it is just as important as coaching people one-on-one. And then the third element to that one is creating a connection with people. And I think that that one is probably the most impactful. I've always said it, if you stand at the front of the room at the end of the session and you remember everyone's name, you're like, see a Dozer, see a Ben, see a Luke, and you actually have a true relationship with that person, they will keep coming back. They will feel connected to you, and guess what? They'll train more. So there actually is a very real benefit to that one. Remember something about them, speak to them. You know, I like talking shit to people. Those kind of things, while they sound like they're not that impactful, not that important, that's what creates that human element to training. Because at the end of the day, we're all people. We all want to be a part of something, and they all kind of flow in together.
That sounds so simple, but it's actually not right. Like, it doesn't actually get executed that well across the board. I've got four different gym memberships, and I'm always rotating between different studios because I like feeling new at different studios and then just seeing what that experience is like. And I could honestly, hand on heart, say that only one out of the four studios that I'm part of right now actually go anywhere near those three circles that you've just mentioned.
This is hard. It's not easy either. And generally speaking, someone, depending on your personality, your background, your experience, you have a natural tendency to flow into one and not the other two. I've actually put a lot of thought into creating that simplicity. I will go into more detail as well, because the question is, okay, great, Pete, that sounds really simple. Sounds really easy. What does that mean? And this is where that conversation between owner and trainer become really important. And well, I've actually developed something which is called a trainer progression document, which I take my coaches through, and we do performance reviews with them because they want to get better. They want to get paid more money, and you want them to get better as well, so they get better experience and the gym makes more money. So the question is, how do you actually objectify and make it an actual process that they can follow on each of these? So there's a lot more detail to it, and it goes into technique and coaching, new client and onboarding, community and atmosphere, knowledge on the systems and studio operations, and then we've got just your admin tasks as well. And within each of these, there's five different segments, all the way from junior coach to experienced coach, senior and master trainer. I've just missed high performing in there as well. So there's different elements of each of those that you kind of build up to. But having that really clear is important for you, for the coach, for the studio, because then you can actually point to certain things and go, okay, great. I think you are getting around to certain people, but maybe resonate to people that are more similar to who you are as a person versus the people who maybe have a different personality. And a couple of things I see is that when you're coaching people, you have a natural tendency to get along with certain people who are like you or like how you want to be. And that's actually a Tony Robbins quote. So I'm a male, I'm 33 years old. I'll typically get along with other males similar age to me just naturally. Now, this is really, really important. I need to change my style, change my tone, change the way I approach different types of people. For example, women and maybe women of different age groups or maybe men of different age groups if they're older or younger. Now, the reason that is if I come into a younger male with a high energy, I'm bouncing around, I give them a fist bump at the start, that for them might be a really great way to engage with them. And I might be just helping them out with something with technique. Let's just use that example. If I came with that same energy to a 55-year-old female, for example, who's new to the gym, it's intimidating. I'm coming with a high energy. She might be, you know, a little bit more reserved, for example. So you need to change your energy levels to the people that you're working with. And this is actually really, really hard. And the people that this is most difficult with is the most opposite to how you are as a person. So if you're a female, this is males, for example. Males will generally want to have people who are a bit more high impact, maybe a bit louder. So if I find that that opposite gender can be hard to do, not impossible, but you need to tweak your style towards it. And then, of course, vice versa. So this is why it's so hard to get an entire room to like one trainer. And this is why you get those conflicting, potentially groups. And also, if you're looking at your coaching team for gym owners, this is why it's actually good to get different personality types, genders, and ages on your team, because I've got female coaches, I've got male coaches. I'm telling you, the female coaches, if they've got some goss, they'll speak to the female coaches first. That's not a bad thing, but they naturally get along with them better. So just pulling this back to my main point with this one, if you're striving to be an excellent coach, and if you're listening to this, that's you, you should consciously change your style, change the way you talk, change the way you approach different types of clients, and you will have to think a lot harder around how you approach people who are very different to you as a person. That's not a bad thing, but the reality is there are different types of clients in your studio. And I know sometimes you hear people say, oh, they don't want to be coached. That's bullshit.
Yeah, totally.
People want to be coached. If someone's been around the studio for a number of years and every time you come up to them, they kind of almost don't see you in a sense because they're in quote unquote concentrating. I've heard these things, by the way. Maybe it's changing your approach in order to get under their skin or give them something that's a little more challenging. And if you're getting back to the basics of human interaction, building rapport, mirroring how they speak, the speed they speak, the loudness they speak, and also mirroring the way they stand and them as a person is actually a great way for building rapport. And that's outside of the gym too. So you can use that same technique in everything that you do. I learned that from recruitment years and years ago, and it's very effective in gyms.
As you're saying this, I'm reflecting on all the experience that I've had in every other studio that I've dropped in on. And it sounds so simple when you say it, but it's so uncommon. That's why we're saying like every studio in the world has trainers. Some have good trainers, but very few have memorable trainers. So yes. As Pete's talking and as I kind of unpack my scorecard later on, think about where you fit on that scale.
Actually, that's a really good segue because you're spot on. There's good trainers, there's great trainers, and then there's memorable trainers. What does that actually mean? So you can turn around a room, you can coach the room, and you're a good trainer. If you're a great trainer, it means you're showing progression. You're really helping them out. You're actually moving them towards their goals. You're giving them knowledge. You actually make them feel comfortable, and you're putting them in an environment where they can basically win. A memorable trainer is someone who they will think about for years. They really do think that that was maybe a pivotal point in their training. Maybe it was a pivotal point in their life. We are lucky. We're in an industry where the better we do our jobs in the industry as an owner, as a coach, the more positively impact people's lives. And I really don't mean that lightly. Like just the stories, the things I've seen. I've seen people cry. I've seen people break down. I've seen people get married through gyms. I've seen people get promotions. I've seen people quite literally get through depression, through movement. And the thing is, as a coach, you have the true ability to create this impact for someone. So we talk about it quite a lot at our gyms. How do we create coachable moments is probably the next question. How do you actually do this? So we actually do this on purpose in our studio where we create those moments. So in coaching, coachable moments, they can be things where you actually bring that person back into that one-on-one position and you give them something to leave with. One of the easiest examples of this one is technique. So if someone is doing, say, a deadlift and you notice that they're not doing the technique correctly, think about approaching them in the right way, given who they are as a person. Watch their technique and then cueing them up on the next one on what to do. So they might be, okay, great, push your hips back a little bit more. Don't bring the bar down so low in that one. Roll your shoulders back, lift your chest, whatever that might be. So you're giving them something to work on. When you give the cue, this is the difference. A great coach will give the cue and might come back to it. A memorable coach will stay for another set or two. They'll watch it again. They'll check it again. And then they'll give some positive reinforcement back on it. They'll go, hey, Sam, actually, your deadlift's coming a long way. If you think about where you were a month ago, do you remember where you were a month ago? Right? Your toes are pointed outwards. You lifted the bar. Your back looks amazing right now. And guess what? You're definitely getting stronger. I can see that because you've increased your lift. But the way you did that one, the way you did your technique, and also the way you held the bar and keep your core strong, that was good. That was fantastic. Keep that up. I'll check again next week.
I'll tell you a story real quick.
Please.
Just to back you up on that. I remember, and this is going to be a shout out, I remember when I was doing CrossFit in London, like 100 years ago, there was this one coach who was about half my size. Her name was Nama. Shout out to Nama. She taught us in the foundations class, you know, with the wooden poles. Like, she taught us how to do the deadlift properly, like how to do the hinge properly. And then to never pick anything else up from in and around the gym floor, like whether it be a weight or moving a box from here to there, never pick anything up that wasn't that hinge movement, to do it safely. Because she talked about all the injuries that she's seen people do to themselves and just being lazy about how they pick stuff up. Now, bro, to this day, if I'm at the hardware store picking up some cement off the ground, which doesn't happen that often, let's be honest, or if I'm picking up my kids off the floor, if I'm just moving some stuff at the studio, like, I always think about Nama, who was this little weapon of an athlete. But I can just always hear her in my ear, because she would shout across the room if she caught any of us doing it the wrong way. And she was one of the very first people that I can still think of, as you said, to this day, like 15 years on, as someone who's stuck with me as a coach, because she actually cared about how I was doing things and she taught me how to do things properly. She wasn't just counting the time on the clock.
Wow. And how long ago was this?
It's the London Olympics, so 2012. 12 years ago.
I mean, that is a memorable coach. Think about how people have coached you in the last 10 years. Shitloads.
Shitloads.
It does make an impact. So if you think about from inside a session, there are tons of these. They're probably mini coachable moments, but they make an impact.
Yeah, I love that.
Giving someone a target on the rower, giving them something different, switching the exercise, make it harder. We call it hotspots, coachable moments. They make an impact and it shows that you're actually coaching the session as well. So breaking out of their routine is another thing which really, really helps. So if they are doing a movement and you actually give them something, a variation or something like that, it sounds really silly, but I'll use the example that if you're doing burpees, for example, and I came down, I said, fuck, Dozer, you can do 15 in a minute. You do 15. I come around again. And I go, fuck, Dozer, 18, mate. And then you do 18. And then later on the rower, I come up to you in the rower and I say, mate, you can, there's no way you're getting under 400 meters in this time frame. And you bash out that. At the end of the session, what are you thinking? You're going to be like, fuck, that peak guy pushed me so hard during that session. That was 3 20-second interactions as opposed to not doing that. And I might have missed the person next to them, for example, but what's the goal? The goal is you want people leaving thinking, fuck, Pete, that was an amazing session. That was a great session. He really pushed me hard. And those mini interactions, you want to kind of build them as many as you can in the session itself. And this goes back to my original point. Towards the end of the session, if you keep doing these, have a look around the room. Who have you missed? Because if you've done it with 24 people and you missed that one person, 24 are going to leave thinking, fuck, Pete was pushing me so hard. And then poor Luke in the corner, I didn't have an interaction with him. He'll miss it and he won't have that same aura or that same feeling that he had of you. So that's some of the in-studio, in-class things that you can do. And there are a plethora of these, right? So depending on the session, depending on the workout, you can have a whiteboard up, put different scores as they're going through. Like, these coachable moments and these hotspots are what pulls you out of it. What else works really well? So there are so many coaches in the studio who have an insane and incredible amount of knowledge, and that knowledge doesn't get passed on to the clients as much. In the breaks, at the start of the sessions, these are chances where you actually can almost do like knowledge bombs, especially in those dead times. I'll give you an example. Say it's a rest station at a studio or whatever it might be. So you've got a minute break. Turning the music down and then talking through like breathing techniques during the weight sessions. this is such a chance to turn dead time into time where you're actually coaching the room. So as an example, you turn the music down and say, team, when you're actually going through the concentric part of the movement, that's when you exhale. So for example, if you're pulling in, that you exhale as you do the concentric part of the movement, and then you breathe in when you bring it back to that starting position. Make sure you're doing this each and every set. Or maybe you're talking about keeping your core tight as an example. Because people will hear that, they'll listen, they'll take that in and think, fuck, okay, I'll try that. And again, you've just had a knowledge bomb to all 25 people, 30 people in the room, whatever, and you're creating those coachable moments. That's in a group setting. Other ones as well, and again, this goes back to coaching first and that little pillars that I had earlier. When someone's doing something really well, fucking tell them. And do so by pulling them aside. And the best time to do this is at the end of the session. So if you notice someone's new, this the especially newbies, reinforcing the amount of times they would leave, you say, yep, great, see you tomorrow, versus, say, Dozer, you're 2 weeks in. And at the start of it, the kettlebell is a bit awkward, it's a bit funny now. You just absolutely smashed that session. And I've seen you move before. You're looking so much better on the rower. You're breathing better. You're smiling. And just look at them. People remember that shit. And more importantly, you're actually coaching them.
You know what this reminds me of? It's that saying that people don't care about how much you know unless they know how much you care. In all the studios that we've had, like the central essence of our brand identity was we actually give a shit about those people. And then, yeah, when you have an interaction like that just before someone leaves, fuck, bro, this is what we talk about. We want people to leave feeling 10 foot tall and bulletproof because the impact, like you said, we're only with them for 3% of the day, but that 3% of the day has the impact to influence the other 97% of their life. And that is the beautiful opportunity that we have with every single member that walks through our front doors. I think that the next concept, do you know what I mean? Like, I think everyone, we've seen a lot of niche concepts and you can, you know, boxing with bare feet and ski erg with no pants on. Like, we've seen so many different niches of concepts now. I genuinely think the next concept is educate your members. Like, educate them. Instead of them just kind of like being a passenger to the workout, why are we doing it this way? Why are we using this energy system? Why do we do this 3 times a week and the other one 2 times a week? Why? Educate them. Educate them on why they're doing it. I will always say that you can kind of tell the level of the coaching that happens at the studio by how much the members know.
So one of the things you can do, this is for the owners out there, and this is also for the coaches. Again, everything I'm going through, it's a complete win-win for both groups here. What I do with my team, and I actually say this in our team meetings, my goal as an owner is to make the trainers the superstar. And I'll use that word, make them the superstar of the studio. And relaying this back to coachable moments, these create that aura for them. It means that they're actually improving. It means that they're actually creating an impact. I want people to leave and tell me how good you are. That's the best compliment that you can get. One of the things we go through is we actually say to our trainers, get out of the F45 Euros, get out of the system. And what I mean by that is 2 examples here. So everyone listening, just hear me out and think about this from a client lens. 2 trainers, same workout. If one trainer during the warm-up, and bearing in mind, the warm-up's one of the only times we actually get the attention of the studio as a coach. So this is actually an incredibly important time. One coach points to the screen and says, yeah, just follow along, guys. Yep, mountain climbers, and kind of walks around. The second coach goes, guys, fuck the screens, eyes on me. We're going to do something different. And then you run them through something totally different. You're doing twists. You've taken the attention off the screens onto you for about 2 minutes. You've taken them through something different. It breaks their kind of cycle. And at the end of the warm-up, I promise you, the person's going to go, fuck, okay, he's doing something. He's coaching us. Versus as soon as you point to the screen, it's by the way, if you ever point to the screen, never do that one because it takes all the attention away from you as a coach and actually devalues you as a coach. Like if you've ever seen someone point to the screen, it's horrible as a, for you personally, not for the studio, for you personally.
No one's paying $77 a week to be part of a studio where a trainer walks in, presses play on the iPad and looks at the screen, right? And conversely, if you want to attract and retain top level talent, these guys did not go through university and all the different schools to get all the different certificates to come into your studio and just remove their brain and point at a fucking screen, right? You've got 27, 36 souls in that class who have given you the privilege or given you the honor to change their lives. So go and fucking do it.
And it makes a big impact. So, as I said, there's probably only three or four times in an actual workout, especially group workout, where the attention is on you. And if you're listening to this and you want to be the best coach, the fucking best coach that you can, you should try to take the most out of those opportunities. And you only get a couple each workout. And that is one of them. Another one, going back to coachable moments, is that people like to see when you're coaching other people. So when you're in the room, it actually creates a bigger impact if you're jumping around and they can see you doing this one. The best example I can think of is when the coach jumps on the sled, the whole fucking room is like, whoa, look at Dozer go. He's absolutely slamming that person. Like, and you're sitting on a sled, you make it harder. Everyone has a laugh. You look like an absolute boss. And it's so basic. It's not even coaching, but you're noticeably making it harder. And the reason I bring up this example is it's simple. Everyone's seen it and it works. They can see that you're making it harder for other people because people actually resonate with that when they see it. And again, it increases the value that you have. It shows you're a good coach and people will respect that more.
Can I add to that as well? If you're ever coaching someone who is a little bit, let's say, difficult to coach, if you've ever had an instance where you've got a member who might be a little bit prickly in your class and doesn't really take to feedback that well, if you've had one of those people just nod along in the car as you're listening, the simple little pro tip that we have found work the best is coach the next person, but loud enough so that they can hear. And every single time we've done that, we've seen that same correction happen in a person who doesn't really take it that well. But all the members are watching, because you're right, Pete, all the members are watching. So we had a rule that was like, never walk past shit form. That was one of our rules. So if we walk past this person, and I'm going to say we had a member, maybe her name was Emma. That's all right, she's not listening. But it's like, never, you could never kind of throw, like, all the trainers in every generation of trainer would always have a problem with her. And I said, don't worry, just coach the next person, but loud enough so she could hear. And then we'll always see her correct her form, but more so everyone else saw that we corrected form. And that was the most important part. We didn't let her injure herself. Back to my Nama story, we didn't let that lady injure herself because she still got the correction, but through someone else. Yeah. So, Pete, can you recap all those things?
If you're listening to this, guys, a couple of things is that, one, create coachable moments. Mini ones in the class and ones outside the class. So coachable moments are what people remember, which includes pulling people out and giving them feedback after class and things like that as well. Number two, mirroring and matching the type of clients you're working with. So changing your style for the type of client, because they're going to receive that better, is probably the most important outcome from that one. Number three is creating superstar coaches and actually using that term to label the person, the coach, you as an owner. So that way they know what they're aiming towards. And the reason this is so impactful is because it's what they work up to. And also it's what you want to get from them as well. And number four is actually coaching first. So being the coach, using technique, giving real feedback and feedback loops is super, super important for that one as well. Can I add one as well? This is less coaching, but the impact is really, really big. And that is, it's about building rapport, and especially with someone new. So when someone is brand new and they're coming on board and you're onboarding them as a person, that first introduction to the studio is the most important conversation you will ever have with that person at your gym for a range of different reasons. And when someone first walks into your gym and it's the first time they've met you, they don't know you, you don't know them, they're probably really nervous. It's intimidating to walk into a gym. I mean, even as coaches, you walk into a gym where you don't know the room, it's quite nerve-wracking. So that first interaction where you're actually helping them out, making them feel welcome and explaining about what's actually going to happen in the studio is crucial in their experience and their reputation of the studio itself. And also just pairing them with someone who is experienced and introducing them to someone else. They make a buddy. I know you speak about this a bit, Dozer. That buddy at the start makes a big impact to them. And I know this is a coaching podcast, but if your coaches can do that and can create that warm feeling really, really quickly, I promise you, you'll build rapport faster and you'll be able to coach them quicker as well. So please, please take your time with them to show them around, introduce them, explain exactly what's going to happen, and find a buddy that actually is like them, because that they'll work on them when you're creating coachable moments for other people, because you can't stay with them the whole time. That impact is huge.
Love that. Could not agree more. All right, let's change some gears here. So I'm going to read out some of this Reddit post. We found this Reddit post, and I want to get your quick kind of take on it. The Reddit post goes, new trainer here, give me tips, okay? And then all the tips that I'm about to read out are from members, not from other trainers. Okay. They're from members. So almost imagine that your members are saying this about your team, okay? Because I want you to take that level of ownership. So when I read some of this sort of stuff out, I want you to kind of like check yourself on if you're doing it well or if this is something that you guys need to sort of work on.
Okay.
So in terms of the love from Marl Karks 777, love, give constructive form correction if form is off. So we said that, right? Like, yep. Never walk past shit form. It's right. The fucking worst thing to see, right? Second thing is give positive call outs when you see someone with good form. You said that. I find this helps to reinforce my muscle memory. If I know I've got form complement when I was doing something a specific way. So basically the member's saying, if I'm doing something a specific way and I hear from Pete, nice job, dude. Like, that's the way to do it. It's like, ah, cool. Now I know how it feels and I can just keep doing this muscle memory.
Yeah. And I'll just touch on that too. There is nothing weirder than a trainer walking up to a client, watching for 30 seconds and then walking away and saying nothing because it's good. Like, it's weird, right? So if you know it's good, Just be like, good works. That's really, really positive.
Okay. Yeah. Help to get a heavier weight set up in the short transition. Now, this was the moment for me back right at the start in 2014. When I first tried, you know, a certain brand of studios, I walked in and the trainer clocked me approaching the next station on a Saturday workout, which was an incline dumbbell bench press, saw me, went and got heavier weights, came back and put those weights on my lap and said, you can do this one. That's it. I got it. I knew exactly the kind of value proposition of this group setting. It wasn't just a circuit class where we just followed blindly. So it was knowing that this person could actually do more and then actually getting those weights. Now, an example of what we used to do at our studio, if we knew someone, this was kind of along the lines of memorable coach. And for us, like the good to great to memorable, the memorable part happens when we feel like we're empowering them or the members feel like they're being empowered. Mm. So our favorite little trick was if someone was on like three, say for instance, like a dumbbell bench press, and let's say we're there for three sets, the person would get the weight that they would feel comfortable with, typically because the clock's on. They just basically look at what's already there and they won't go to the effort of going and get some. Now, you could argue that we should actually get some more for them, and you're 100% right. But let's just say the first set, they just punch out, like they're on the 15s, they just punch out the 15s. But they're doing like 16 reps of it on a resistance day. And we're like, okay, obviously they can lift more. So we go get them higher weights. Mm-hmm. And let's say they still get more than 8 out. We say on a resistance day, if you can do more than 8, increase your weight. So on that third set, we would ask them, what weight should we get you? And they would only typically say the next one up. They'll say like, oh, I could probably do the 20s. We'll go and get them 22s and a half safely because we know that they could do it.
Yep.
We'd cover the weight so they couldn't see the numbers.
Yeah.
We'd let them do like 8-9 reps and then we would reveal the weight and then we would say this line. We would say, see, you're stronger than you think.
Yes, love that.
Now, that one line, remember, the 3% can influence the other 97% of that life. That one line has come back to us in people's victory speeches after they've won, like, whatever challenge.
Love that.
When they got their job promotion at work, when they did things in life, that one line has been requoted so many times because you guys taught me that I'm stronger than I think.
Love that. I love that. And that goes back to the whole interaction around positively reinforcing them, because nobody takes people aside and actually takes the time to stand in front of someone and give them real, true and positive feedback. I think that people do remember that one. And more importantly, it actually reinforces good behavior.
Totally. All right. Let me get out a couple more of these loves. Okay. So keep following along at home and just make sure that you're doing these. Push me to pick up a heavier weight if you're confident that I went too light, like I just said, and I'm cheating myself. Challenge me on a cardio station to push the pace a bit more. This one probably depends on the person. Some may not be receptive to it, but some may really appreciate the extra push. That was from that particular person. Learn names and call people out. Everyone loves positive reinforcement, I think. This is from no_will_1200. Get to know people's names. There's a couple of trainers that don't know my name, even though I've been consistently reintroducing myself. I hate that. My wife, she at the local HIIT training studio, that same person, the manager, introduced herself to Michelle 3 times.
Right.
Now, I know how things get. Our studio's had hundreds of people, right? But come on, like at about the third or fourth time, it starts wearing out on you. Yeah?
Yeah, that's huge.
Now, here's a controversial one. I particularly love this one. I'd love to know what you think, Pete. This one is from Accomplished Shift 439. Mm-hmm. Coming up to someone struggling and doing the workout alongside them for a few seconds or helping them out.
Yeah.
Such as holding someone's feet in a sit-up. But particularly with, where do you go to with like the trainers joining in sometimes?
I love it, but it does depend on the person. So one of the things in group training or just in training in general is people resonate with energy levels. And when they see you jumping down, you give them a little something different, you point them in a different direction, or you do it with them for a little bit, they will see that energy level and they'll feedback on it. And yeah, it makes a big impact for them. So I love it. I do it frequently. Going back to your weight example around increasing the weights, if you know someone is going under what they should be, or, you know, not going at somewhere you've seen them do it before, great way to show the energy. And also other people see that. So going back to my sled example, if you jump in for the ski for a couple of seconds, whatever it is, people will see that and they'll be like, wow, you know, Doze is really pushing me.
Love that. Okay. So let's get to some hates. Okay. There's more hates than there were love. So hate, only being a clock announcer. I know how much time is left. So stop yelling it out and clapping without doing anything else. It's really not helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing else to say. I fucking hate it. You're not there as a cheerleader. People can see the clock. Okay, only spending time with a couple of people. Spread the love. Like, yes. People see that from a mile off, particularly if you're in one of these studios who are just really focused on the pretty people or the ones that are wearing matching Gymshark shit or whatever. Like, everyone's fucking paying to be there, dude. So, like, spread out. Spread the love, right?
Yeah, that probably goes back to you'll get along with people that are more similar to you. So I noticed that guys want to come to me and just chat shit about football on the weekend. So just recognize you can stay with them for like a minute or two or 3 minutes, whatever, but just recognize when someone's really trying to bite your ear off.
Yeah, being on your phone during the workout. So that's kind of like, yeah, no brainer, but I hate being in a class and feeling like the trainers are more interested in trying to get the shot for Instagram and to try and be funny and to joke around and to try and do a semi-dance in the middle of a class. Like, no wonder this session is half empty. Okay. So yeah, being on your phone during the workout.
Just on that too, because I think like the being on the phone is an obvious one, but going back to the dancing around or like being an energy in the room, my original pillars, and the reason why coach first is at the top is that if people know you're a good coach, it actually gives you a bit more permission to be a bit more playful in the sessions. So, and I'll use an example here just to kind of drive this point home. If someone is a good coach, they know they're good and they do a little bit of a like whatever in the studio, people kind of giggle a little bit. But if you're not coaching them and you do that, they'd be like, what the fuck? Like, I need help. So you got to coach first. You have to.
Agree. All right. Just walking around with the occasional clap or saying the same general words on repeat. I hate that as well. In our studios, we would assign coach A and a B and then have zones in the session, because what I didn't want is people just sharking around the room, like aimlessly walking around the room. And we see this so often in big group training sessions is, you know, people are zoomed out and no one's zooming in on people. And this also, you know, lends itself nicely to like, even if you're a quiet coach out there, beautiful. We need you. Mm. We need you because we don't just need loud, hypey people, because, you know, often what you find is loud, hypey. You miss this kind of like small, like Pete said, those coachable moments one-on-one, which is where people feel it the most. People remember not what you said or what you did, but how you made them feel, right? So like just hitting them in the feels. Quiet coaches, we love you. We love you. We need you. Okay. And the studio that I'm at, one of the studios that I'm at, honestly, like I could almost predict with the trainers what phrases they're going to use throughout their entire session, because it's the same fucking thing all the time.
And just going on that too, because probably a good point, you mentioned quiet trainers. You can be an absolutely excellent coach and be quiet. One of the best coaches I ever had was an extremely technical coach. He's from Norway, actually, and he was from a CrossFit background. And he was extremely technical, very, very good, and he was loved by everyone. And he almost never said anything too loud in the studio, but everyone loved him and he coached extremely well. So play to your style. So yes, change the way you speak to people, but at the same time, play to your strengths. And I personally like a bit of both, but having said that, even if you're a quiet coach, you can still be amazing and incredible.
This one's interesting, and it sounds, when you hear it, you think, oh, no, surely no one does that anymore. I saw it last week. Mm-hmm. This is from 092226. What a name. I very much dislike when some of our coaches just talk to each other, the entire class, and giggle around next to the iPad to try and choose a song for Spotify and disregard members during the workouts. They think they're calling out the clock is coaching. I also hate the social media stuff. I don't want to be recorded during my workout. So there's a fair bit that's happening in there. But basically what I'm hearing there is it's like members not feeling seen, heard, or cared for.
And just going back to that as well, I'm just going to have a guess here, user 09112, is
you know him.
They're probably not being coached first. And I know I just said that, but when you're not being coached, everything's a fucking issue. It's like when you've got a roommate, as soon as they hit that switch where you're kind of annoyed at them, they'll leave their plate on there. You think their fucking plate is on there as well. Or just everything becomes like exacerbated a little bit. So I'd imagine this person isn't getting coached and then they're seeing these other little things and it just adds up a little bit. So that's my guess in that scenario. Again, you're spot on. Like, yes, you know, shouldn't be choosing sessions or like songs and things like that. But I would guess this person isn't getting coached as well. It's just frustrating them.
So great segue. In Geronimo, we've got the 5-star session framework. And with that framework, there is a scorecard. So I wanted to make sure that our shift captains and our studio captains were held accountable for the number on the scorecard. Like, we rated every session out of 25. So I couldn't turn up and go, I feel like my session's a vibey. Vibey means nothing. Like, I wanted my trainers to say, like, they were a 22 out of 25.
Yeah.
Well, this particular trainer here, we've got to have a chat to that trainer because they're a 15. And despite the amount of effort to coach them up, they just seem to can't get past a 15 or a 16. So it's really important that we quantify this, which is how we reverse engineer memorable trainers and creating the ultimate member experience that is part of building an unbeatable community and a real competitive advantage. So you grow month in, month out, and people will pay top dollar to be part of your community and drive past 6 other studios that look and sound just like yours, but you are completely unique. So I'm going to have that trainer scorecard available in the show notes, but the 5 areas that I drilled my team on, and we do this in the academy, and Pete's adapted this for his team, is the first thing is you're not just there to count reps and to burn calories. You are a community spark. So that's the first thing, you being a community spark. The second thing is how they contribute to an infectious atmosphere. The second thing is around the education and empowerment. How do we actually do that? And everything that I'm saying here, there was a score of 1 through to 5, like what 1 looks like through to what a 5 out of 5 looks like. The fourth thing is a tailored touch. Sometimes people need a hug. Sometimes people need a kick, right? In terms of how people like to be trained. Sometimes they like to be yelled at, and sometimes they like to be nurtured a bit more. And here's a bit of a kicker. Sometimes those that needed a bit of a kick, if they've had a shit day, they actually need a bit of a cuddle, and vice versa. If someone's had too much on the cuddle and they're not getting any results, sometimes they just need a size 13 up their bum, just going, fuck, you can do more than this, mate. You're stronger than you think, right? So that's the tailored touch. And then the fifth thing is, and this is in order, the fifth thing is I used to hate when I was in a session as a participant, as a member, and I'd give my everything for 43 minutes, and then I'm on that last session, and then the workout just stopped and the music went down and they just went, all right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow. And I was like, oh, fucking hell. Like, hey, this might not mean much to you, Mr. Buddy Six Pack, but to me, this was a big deal, me finishing this workout. So our fifth principle is finish with a bang.
Yeah.
Finish with a bang, right? And a final message, like Pete said, where he kind of turns the volume down and completely addresses the room. That was our thing there. Finish with a bang and a final message. So people left the studio, and every single workout, 47 workouts on the calendar, they left every single workout feeling 10-foot tall and bulletproof. That was our mantra. So I've got that as a framework and as a scorecard in the show notes. So you can click into that and download that for yourself. And you can see how we rate a 1 out of 5, 2 out of 5, 3 out of 5, 4 out of 5, and 5 out of 5. And then you can actually score your team. If you implement this in your business, I can almost guarantee that your sessions will lift 2 or 3x. It'll help you with your churn. It'll help creating the right team environment. You know, it's really important that every single person in your team has one number that they feel like they can influence. And for the trainers that aren't involved in sales and rollovers and all that kind of stuff, this is their one number.
Exactly.
This is their one number.
And everything Dozer just went through on the 5-star framework, this is your chance as an owner to actually give real advice and actually get people along that journey. Because when you see someone, you want to coach them, want to help them out, right? you need to be able to give them objective and something they can aim towards, like an actual number that you can point to and go, hey, by the way, I'll use an example. In Community Spark, we want to be making sure that we're talking pre and post session. We know they're first, they have a friend, for example. These are actually in the framework, by the way. So it's all in there. But you can actually point to it and say, that is what a 5-star framework is, because then everyone understands, is clear, you're communicating well, because you're actually their coach. And I think that that's something really important to remember during that time. So everything Dozer went through is about how you coach them and how you create that community too. And also, more importantly, how you get remembered by clients and really make sure that they are the ones who are getting the most out of the session, because at the end of the day, that's what it should be. The question is, how do you know you're doing good work? How do you know you're actually creating an impact? Coaches, if you're listening to this, and also owners, actually, for everyone listening to this, one of the best ways you know if you're up towards the great to memorable coach is that people actually will say to the owner, they're doing a great job. They'll be like, Dozer is killing it in the studio. You know, don't let go of him. Give them a pay rise. Ha ha. You want to be so good that the clients feel that they have to tell the owner. That is the level you want to get to. And I actually say this to my staff. I want them telling me how good you are. I want them saying to me, God, don't ever let go of that person. God, if they leave, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you can measure that. You can actually say to them, like, we want people to be saying this as well. So yes, you show them the 5-star framework, but measure it by how many times you get told that, because that means that you actually are creating the impact that you want to.
This has been a juicy one. So just to recap, the 5 stars in the trainer scorecard is community spark, atmosphere, contribute or create an electric atmosphere, educate and empower, tailored touch, and finish with a bang and a final message. Team, that has been a mammoth episode. Lots of value there. Would love to know your feedback on this. If you've got any questions on this, hit me up on my Instagram at hey.dozer. We might even bring Pete back and let him back in for a follow-up to this episode, because there's actually more that I want to touch on. But in the show notes, you'll find the link to the scorecard. Grab it, implement it in your business. And Pete, any final messages for any of the coaches listening, mate?
Yeah, coaches and owners, when you're implementing this, create a feedback loop for you and for the members, because that's good coaching. Everything we just went through is high-level coaching. There's a lot of tactics in there as well, but they're all things that you can implement, and they're also things that the owner can implement to the staff themselves. So try them out. Just remember, one of the best frames I've ever had in my entire life coaching is, what kind of experience do I need to create for that particular person for them to remember me or them to talk about me? Think about that from that lens, and you'll do things differently. You'll act differently. And more importantly, you'll actually deliver the workouts differently, because to get to that level, to be a memorable coach, great way to look at it, great way to frame it. And I think if you keep doing that one day in, day out, then you'll create the impact that you want.
Pete, thanks for joining us, mate.
Thanks, Dozer. Appreciate it. Thanks for letting us in.
Listeners, keep changing lives out there, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning into today's episode. If something resonated with you, then do one of two things. Either leave a review or send this episode to a mate who's in the industry who might need to hear this. But if you want more right now, because your head might be spinning and you're like, all right, those, that, what the hell do I do right now? Then in the show notes, you'll find a link to where you can book in for a free 15-minute checkup on your studio, where we get to have a look at how you're going right now and where some of the kind of quick win opportunities are to get you moving faster. I can't wait to be back in your ears next week. And if you're listening to this right now, I want you to know that I love you, I appreciate you, I'm grateful for you, and I'm in your corner. You are on the right track, and I believe in you. So keep going, and I'll see you next week.